All right. Welcome in. Toilets 2 Titles, episode number 56. Our first post-NFL draft rookie mock. The gang's all here. We got a power crew for this morning. All right, with me today, to my right, if you're watching, my main guy, Justin Stevens at JustinFF_Justin. What's cooking?
Good morning. We're excited about today's panel. We're excited about the mock draft, but I've got a busy day ahead of me, and you got a busy day ahead of you, so I'm ready to get this thing going.
Hell yeah. Also, right below me, Rich Gonzalez, the Frito Bandito himself. Rich, what's cooking, my guy?
Great morning. I'm rocking the new Toilets to Titles swag we got that I'll be sending out to you guys. Yeah. So excited to get this going.
We're gonna be rocking those at the expo coming up. Everybody be able to see us there. If you're at the expo, reach out to us. We will see you. We'll be wearing the Toilets of Titles gear. And then also below us, Matt FF_doormat on the Twitter. Matt, what's cooking?
Hey boys, I'm doing wonderfully well. I'm just I got drafts going everywhere, startup drafts and rookie drafts, dev drafts. It's draftness over here. So I'm just loving it.
We're flooded in drafts right now, man. We're flooded. And Loving what did it. I do? I said, hey, guys, let's just do another one this week. That was the plan. That was the flotation device I threw you guys. But all right, everybody, if you're listening at home, another way you can listen to us, we are on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean. We got a Facebook group. We got two. Toilets of Titles page, one of Family Breaks. You can find us on Spotify. However you're listening to us, we would appreciate it if you threw us an Apple Podcast review, 5 stars if you could. Take a picture of that. Send it to us if you want to get into Frankenstank. Also, YouTube, go on there, subscribe, like, comment. And you know what? If you want to get into the Frankenstank League, comment in like 5 or 6 of our YouTube posts. Send us pictures of that and get you in Frankenstank, baby. That's how it's done. I think now, guys, are we ready to bring on some guests? Are the formalities done?
What about our read?
All right, right. Well, just so you know, today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to. All right, Joseph Clark never gets old talking draft. That's what I'm talking about, man. But tell me that again in about a month. We'll see. we might change our tune in about a month. We might be ready for football at that point. But all right, let's bring on the first guest, Mr. John Laub, the Gridiron Scholar himself.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Ready to rock and roll?
You ready? You fired up?
I'm fired up, man. Woke up at 6:30 for this.
Yes, man. Yes. So we'll come at 6:30, bright and early. I think you only have
bright early, baby. Level.
Fired up is your only level, and that's why we got you on. We're ready for. If you want to know John, you can find him on Twitter at GridironScal91. He's a college fantasy football and NFL fantasy football analyst, fantasy football diehards, co-host of College Fantasy Football on Campus and the Draft Seminar. So that's John. We're going to be drafting with him today. The next guest, let's bring on Kyle. Kyle on the couch. Kyle LaPointe, what's happening, Kyle?
Oh, man, another beautiful day over here in the central area of our country. So I woke up about 6 trying to get ready for this thing. I slept in a little.
Man, one up in the next guy. So everybody, it's how early did you wake up for this episode? That's what's going to make you the winner of this one. So you can find Kyle on the Twitter at DoglegBrewer. He's the co-host at Dynasty Self-Help. The FF stories and the CFB stories on the Twitter. Go check those out. And let's bring on the last guest. Let's bring on Tyler.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Dude, I'm happy to be on. I'm glad you guys are bringing the energy because it is early in the morning here.
What's cooking, Tyler? How we doing, my guy?
Good. So, yeah, I mean, I'm here on Twitter, Tyler FF. Been working with this draft kit for King's Fantasy Sports. Feel free to check that out. Like I said, King Fantasy Sports on Twitter. Check out the website as well, and we got the draft kit going on there.
Don't forget that promo code.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. Also, promo code TylerFF10, get 10% off. Right now it's $7 there at till the end of May, and then you can get the 10% off no matter what time using my promo code there.
I got your back, Tyler.
Hey, thank you, sir. Like I said, early in the morning. Early in the morning.
All right. Let's rock and roll with this thing. We got a 4-round super flex rookie mock. Again, it's our first post NFL draft rookie mock. So things are about to get real. All right, because now we know where these players have landed. We know what their value is at this point, and I'm sure it's going to change again. But as of now, 12 teams, 4-round super flex. Let's kick this thing off. To start it off, we got Kyle. You have the first pick. Go ahead, my guy.
All right. So, you know, I think it's fun in a lot of cases to kind of go out and get your guy. You know, sometimes you hit a tier and you're doing these mock drafts, especially you don't have a team to really truly worry about. So, you know, sometimes you can jump some player a little bit higher than they normally would be, but that's not the case here in Superflex drafts this year. I mean, if you pass on Trevor Lawrence 1.01, you're passing on perception that's been there for 3 years. Whether he's going to be the best in this draft or not is relevant. It's a value there one way or another. He's a great player, so it's not like there's anything wrong with the pick. You know, you just got to go 1.01 Trevor Lawrence this year.
Chalk. Pretty chalk, and I think it's been pretty chalk since our first mock draft, pre-NFL draft, all the way through our first post-NFL draft. So there goes Trevor Lawrence. And this is where it will get interesting. John, the Gridiron Scholar, you were up for the second pick of the first round.
For me, it's an easy decision. And I'm going to give everyone an incredible stat that I read or heard that blows my mind. The Chicago Bears, who have played in the NFL for over 100 years, have never had a 4,000-yard passer in the illustrious history of that franchise. That's almost unbelievable. I mean, not once did you stumble into a 4,000-yard passer. Justin Fields is going to be the first guy in the history of this program. I'm going to take Justin Fields here. He will surpass the 4,000-yard passing mark in his career in a Chicago Bears uniform.
Well, he is going to have an extra game to do that. So there's definitely a good chance he'll get that done. Hopefully, if he doesn't with the extra game, then the Bears are in trouble. All right. So Justin Fields is off the board. I'm up. And John just made it very easy for me by taking Justin Fields. I'm going to go Trey Lance, who I believe is a higher ceiling than Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields might be a little bit of a safer pick. But I love the ceiling of Trey Lance in San Francisco. I love his weapons. I love that offense. I think no matter who they have at running back, they're going to have a ground game. He's got Kittle. He's got Ayuk. He's got Debo. And I really think, you know, his career is going to be pretty stellar out there. So give me Trey Lance. He is off the board at 3 overall. And I believe Justin is on the clock with the 4th pick.
Yes, sir. So I know that the popular thing here is going to be to take another quarterback. You're gonna probably be looking at Trey Lance, who doesn't have a huge career in college, much less but just a lot of question marks in my mind, and he's not gonna be a year one.
You can't look at him. I already took him, my friend.
You took Trey Lance?
Okay. Yes, I did.
That's fine. Sorry, I'm trying to do the behind the scenes stuff too.
It's all good.
Zach Wilson, I kind of want a quarterback that's going to look older than my son. So I think I'm going to go with Najee Harris here, secure what I think is going to be a year one top 10 running back for my dynasty team.
Awesome. So Najee Harris is off the board, the first skill position player. Tyler, you're on the clock with your first team.
Well, all that intro, I thought he was going with my guy, but he did not. Right here, I am taking Kyle Pitts. I am taking a offensive weapon. He is a tight end, a wide receiver, whatever you want to call him. He will line up anywhere on the field and just be a weapon for Atlanta. I think they'll use him. He's got, you know, Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones on either side of him, and he doesn't have to be the main guy year one, but Julio looks like he's on his way out. We've heard a ton of rumors going on there. And then, you know, with Calvin Ridley on the other side of him, I think that would be a huge 1-2 punch for the next year.
I agree. I think that's kind of the nail in the coffin for Julio getting Kyle Pitts. And I think he's going to, you know, they're going to try to fit him in that one role. And then Calvin Ridley can be the two. I think he's going to get a lot of targets this year. So that's a good pick right there. Sixth overall, Matt, your first team. Go ahead, my guy.
I'm going to grab Wilson here. I think I'm tempted to go Chase, but I really like Wilson. I think that's the value is just too much to pass on a quarterback. He's still got a bit of the Jets, you know, odor around him, but Gase is not there. And I think, you know, at spot six, that's a pretty nice get. So I'm happy to lock him in.
I like what the Jets did. I loved what they did. Going into the draft, I was nervous as hell to get Zach Wilson. After the draft, I'm feeling a lot better. That's a solid pick at six right there. Seventh, Rich, your first team. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is an easy one for me. With this pick, I'll be taking Ja'Marr Chase. I feel that with the weapons that are already there, with Higgins and Boyd, Mixon having a stronger year this year, and Burrow come in, hopefully he fits in and gets in real good, feeling healthy. I think he will have a solid season, end up probably being the number one receiver there with over 100 targets this year in his first season.
Hey, look at Rich there propping the Frito-Lay logo too. We need to get that sponsorship going.
Rich might know a guy.
Yeah.
Rich might know a guy.
Send a letter up the ladder, bud.
All right. Tyler, your second team is up. Go ahead. Let Justin know what your pick is.
You're on mute, bud.
Hey, yeah. Sorry. Here I am taking Devontae Smith. He is my wide receiver 1B to Ja'Marr Chase's 1A. I think they're both incredible talents. Devontae Smith is walking into a wide open wide receiver core. I think he could easily walk into the wide receiver one duties year one. Maybe not produce as a wide receiver one year one, but I think he has a plentiful career ahead of him where he can definitely be the guy for Jalen Hurts. Doesn't help that Jalen Hurts is an old Alabama guy as well. But, you know, we'll see if Jalen Hurts is really there to stay going forward. But I really like the pick. I really like being able to get Smith here. I think he's super safe and super high ceiling as well. And I did also say duty.
Second team.
All right. So we got team nine. So up now. John, you're up.
All right.
Hey, I got you back. We're good.
I'm good. I'm back. All right. I don't know if sometimes when we have all these guests on, my internet gets spotty. But all right. So I'm up. I'm team nine. Little insight here. I'm assuming if I'm team nine, I did well this season. So if I did well this season, I'm win now. So that's going to change my opinion on whether I'm taking Mac Jones now. So I'm going to go ahead and take him. Alvin Gordon is a Jag. I think Javonte Williams is going to get the job, you know, somewhere produced pretty well. I think he's going to be – he has a chance to be, you know, I think Najee, you know, that spot in Pittsburgh is great for him, so I don't think he'll ascend over him, but I think he'll be the clear running back too, you know, when the season is done out of all the rookies. So give me Javonte Williams, and let's move on. Kyle, your second team, go ahead.
Okay, you guys pretty much just – cleared my first three tiers and started getting into tier four. So, I mean, this is chalk for me, you know, and it's kind of open here. Now I've got a group of a lot larger number of players that I have ranked all together. And again, I think it becomes a little bit of your, you know, what's your flavor. And for me in this situation, I would end up down between two players with Mac Jones because of this is a super flex and it's hard to let him fall much further than this. But also you have Travis Etienne, and so a first-round running back, and he's sitting here at 1.1. Like you kind of got to go that route every now and again and just say, well, yeah, I mean, it's a quarterback, but I probably got one, and this running back could be for the next few years just a phenomenal talent. So I'm going to go Travis Etienne there at 1.10.
All right. So there goes ETN. He is off the board. Matt, your second team is up. Go ahead, my guy.
I'll grab Mac Jones. I think he's got a pretty safe floor. Again, same as the first pick. I think you can't let these quarterbacks slip too far. Sort of learned that with Herbert last year. Everyone was letting him slip into the end of the first round. And I think Jones has probably got a 2 or 3 Super Bowl floor. So I'm pretty happy to grab him.
Oh, 2 or 3 Super Bowl floor? Is that what you just said?
The floor. Yeah,
bold. Very, very bold, but I dig it. Very humble. Very humble Patriots fan we have on this show today. We appreciate that. The Gridiron Scholar, your second team's on the clock. Go ahead, John.
All right. I might surprise people here, but I stay with my board and my analysis, and no player has risen up the board higher, stronger. I'm positive about his landing spot. I love it. I'm taking Trey Sermon right here of the San Francisco 49ers. I think that they're going to cut a bunch of guys. I don't think Jeffrey Wilson will be on the team. Mostert might get cut. I just feel like I know it's a crowded locker room right now, but in the long run, Trey Sermon's the best talent. Shanahan identified him as a one cut back in his zone blocking scheme. I'm going to take it here for the upside. I'm going to Trey Sermon.
All right, Trey Sermon rounds out the first round. He jumped in. He made it. He's arrived. Trey Sermon, welcome to the first round. You're here now. The Gridiron Scholar. He put his stamp on you. So I'm gonna expect that in most of the drafts I'm in now. So all right, that's the end of the first round. We are moving on to the second round, and to kick that off, Kyle, go ahead.
All right, so we literally have now cleared my tiers 1, 2, 3, and 4. Again, it's chalk. I like what you guys are thinking right here. Smart people, if you think exactly like me. So the next thing that we've got is, you know, you kind of get into these different wide receivers. Maybe they're in a crowded situation. You know, you do still have a little bit of option here. But running back, I mean, there's a four-player tier there that once you're past that, it's a little risky. And so, you know, in this kind of a situation, I'm going to end up going and sticking with a player that was high on my board before the season, before the draft, and I don't hate his landing spot at all. I'm going to go with the diminutive Rondale Moore and take him with 2.01. I think he's going to do really well there with Kyler Murray, and, you know, he'll shine in a role that they don't really have any players playing right now.
All right. So Rondale Moore, that's going to be very exciting. Him and Kyler. We at least know that. It's going to be very exciting to watch. So, John Laub, you're on the clock with your second round pick.
So, I love drafting with Coach Schweppes because I know who he wants, and I'm bullish on the same player here. So, I'm going to stick with my analysis. I love the landing spot. I think he can dominate targets from the slot. I'm going Elijah Moore, New York Jets here, with Zach Wilson peppering him with passes throughout the season.
I love it. I love it. I don't know now if you're rubbing it in, calling me Schweppes. So you take my guy, and you call me Schweppes. And so you just put my head in the dirt there. So that one stings. But I agree, man. He's a dog, and there's no pun intended. If you remember him as I think he was a freshman when he pretended to take a leak after scoring a touchdown. But dude's a dog. I love that there. I love what the Jets are doing. So now I'm up. You know what? I'm going to go with Jalen Waddle. You know, I think the Dolphins, you know, they really like the guy. They took him. He was the second wide receiver off the board. It's kind of similar to Devontae in Philadelphia with Waddle in Miami. He's got experience with Tua. And, you know, he's a great wide receiver. High ceiling pick. He fell to me here. I'll take him there. So I got Waddle. Justin, your first team is on the clock.
All right. Are you sure you don't want to take Briley Moore so that you can get the three Moores out of the way back to back to back?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Well, then if you're going to take Waddle right before me, then I'm going to stick with my board, and I'm going to stick with Rashad Bateman right now because I'm not completely upset with the landing spot. I get that they don't throw the ball a heck of a lot, but – I also understand that, in my mind, Hollywood Brown is not the de facto wide receiver one, and maybe Jackson hasn't had a de facto wide receiver one,
Bingo. In his
career, and maybe that's why they're not passing the ball a lot. So with the wide receiver run going, he's the end of a tier for me. So I'm going to take Bateman right now.
I think you hit you. I think you hit it on the head, Justin. I don't think he's had a wide receiver one, so I don't think he's really been able to showcase what he's capable of. So that's a good, great pick there, Tyler. Your first team is on the clock.
Yeah. So I mean, with Rashad Bateman off the board and the whole run of wide receivers there, that's kind of the end of a tier there for me. So sitting here at the fifth pick, I'm thinking my team's a little bit middle of the road and whatnot. Kind of in between two players, a safe option and a home run option here. So I'm going to take the home run option. I want to take Terrace Marshall. He's got a big ceiling there. He's an alpha build. DJ Moore on the other side of them. I think both of them can succeed just fine. I don't know if that's with Sam Darnold or a future quarterback, but I think that wide receiver core looks scary, and then CMC running the ball with them. I really like Terrace Marshall's potential. I think he's got a really high ceiling, and why not swing for the fences sitting here at five? You're a middle of the road team. Let's see if we can get you to the playoffs.
All right.
I think our host went and froze.
Are you up, John? Okay.
I'm here. Matt, you're on the clock. For some reason, when Tyler talks, I cut out. So, Matt, you're on the clock. Go ahead.
I'll go Michael Carter here. I think it's another teardrop. He's the last probably running back I want in this area. So, it's a couple of wide receivers still around I'll grab later, but I'll go Michael Carter. I sort of bought a lot of him pre-draft, and I don't mind his landing spot. I think what you were saying earlier, Coach, I sort of like what the Jets have done, and I think he can get a good a fair share of the ball.
Excellent. So Michael Carter is off the board, and Rich, you are on the clock.
Yeah, I was wanting to go Michael Carter there too because I like him going to the Jets. But I'm going to go ahead and stay with another receiver, go Mr. St. Brown. I think going to the Lions, who else have they got? He's going to be peppered with targets, quick, shifty. I think he has high upside for that team with having any real true number one receivers there. So he should get tons of targets and hopefully a lot of underneath targets to where he'll pick up some good yards.
Are you bashing Perryman?
Yeah, I'm not big on him.
Yeah, St. Brown's ADP has been skyrocketing. He keeps going up and up and up. All right. Team 8, Tyler, you are back on the board for your second team, sir.
Yeah, I like that St. Brown pick. That was actually the safe option I was sitting there considering. I think he is super safe. But for me here, I'm going to go with the second tight end off the board, the kind of forgotten behind Pitts, Pat Freiermuth. I think he is a great tight end talent. We'd be talking about him as tight end one if it wasn't for Pitts here in this class here. I think it will be very similar to a lot of tight ends where he doesn't produce right away, but I do like his film, and I think he will be good at Pittsburgh. They have literally no one else there.
My on the, internet's cutting out. You guys, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah. Do you want to finish your statement?
I don't know what the hell is going on right now, but what's that?
Can you hear us?
And there's
if you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, I'm gonna go with Amari Rodgers here, and that's this is based upon, what happened.
Yeah, you cut right in on Tyler. He was trying to talk to us about Freiermuth.
I'm sorry.
Well, why he's lagging there? I think he's a good fit there, Pitt. They don't got anyone else, and at the tight end position, we'll see who the next quarterback is after Roethlisberger when Freiermuth is finally hitting his stride, though.
Right on, good pick. Plus, you can come up with a lot of great fantasy football team names with him.
Absolutely.
All right, John, you're up, sir. Okay.
I'm back. I'm good. My internet seems like it's rebounded. So I'm back. I'm going to go with Amari Rodgers. And this is Amari Rodgers if he's with Aaron Rodgers, okay? Without Aaron Rodgers, changes my perception of him. But right now, you know, I'm going to hope that that's who he has at quarterback, and that's who I am going to take. So Amari Rodgers is off the board. And next we have Kyle, you're up.
All right. Well, hopefully I can tell my whole pick here. You know, I still have a player on a tier. I know I may be homering here, but I really, really like the landing spot. I always liked the player anyway. I kind of figured he would go fairly high in the draft, but all running backs kind of fell this year. And Ramondre Stevenson out of Oklahoma ending up there in a backfield that was already wishy-washy. I mean, people were staring away from Sony Michel and Damian Harris, even though, you know, both of them are decent college players and seem like they could do something up there. They just haven't committed to either of them in any high level. So putting in a fourth round running back in Ramondre Stevenson, a build similar and a game style similar to LeGarrette Blount, who was so strong there for so many years, I just think, especially this late, you know, and I've got a contender team at the, you know, third pick overall, I'm going to go ahead and take a running back there, Ramondre Stevenson out of Oklahoma.
All right, and Matt's a little hurt right now because Matt, he likes the he likes the Patriots. He was probably going to go there. So, Matt, what's your rebound pick with your next selection?
Man, don't draft Patriots running backs. That's my motto. But no, I love that pick. That'd be typical Belichick, just to go running back in the first rounds, and they get replaced by a fourth rounder. But I've grabbed Tony here. I like the ceiling. Not sure in the landing spot, but I think if he hasn't been injured, he's, you know, it wouldn't be hating him so much in a couple of, you know, injury filled years there. So yeah, I'll grab Tony.
All right, Kadarius Tony is off the board, and to round out the second round, John Laub, go ahead.
Very tough here because the I've noticed in the draft so far the value really falls late in the second round. So I think it does depend a little bit on your roster construction, where you want to go. I was hoping Kadarius Toney might fall for me. So that was a nice pick there. I think he's still got first-round draft capital. To get him that late in a draft here is a great value. So I'm looking at my board, and I don't love any of the running backs here. So I'm going to have to go wide receiver. And I'm just going to base it on draft capital and the quarterback. I'm going to go Dwayne Eskridge here, landing in Seattle with Russell Wilson. David Moore is gone. I do think Eskridge sees the field from day one on special teams. So I'll take the landing spot and draft capital with Eskridge here.
Dwayne Eskridge rounds out the second round. And Kyle, to start off the third round, go ahead.
All right, I got two more players left in my sixth tier here for Superflex. I'm going to go with the safer option of the two just because not really sure on the quarterback that went to Houston. I mean, Davis Mills, he's a decent talent and, you know, he could have some, you know, some way in there, but we really don't know what's going on with quarterback there in Houston. And I'm going to take the wide receiver that Houston took, which is Nico Collins. And I think he's one of those players we just never really got to see what he can really do at Michigan because people were just throwing the ball near him instead of actually to him. And I think he's a great talent, great player, highly recruited player out of the college ranks or coming out of high school. I mean, just a great player, Nico Collins out of Michigan.
All right, so there goes Nico Collins, and I am up. And, John, when you were talking based upon draft capital and based upon quarterback.
I think I'm up, Coach. I'm team sorry. Two.
Go ahead.
Sorry, brother. Uh-huh. Sorry. I wanted Nico Collins. So I'm getting sniped here all the time. So I loved him in the pre-draft process. In a dynasty league, you might have to wait until the Texans get Sam Howell next year at the top of the draft. But I think it's a good value in dynasty. I'm going to go with my other wide receiver. And part of mock drafting is learning. And I'm a teacher, so I like to illustrate to people how I think. And so I might be reaching a little bit here, but anyone tethered to Justin Herbert, and if you've seen the bombs that Justin Herbert threw 50 yards down the field to smaller wide receivers, I think Los Angeles made a strategic decision here. They drafted size and speed from the toughest conference in college football. the production model was terrible, but in context, Tennessee's offense stinks. The program is falling down. I'm taking Josh Palmer here based on the Chargers identified this player as a star with Justin Herbert, and he fulfills a need as a big, deep threat. He's a big-bodied speedster, and they don't have that in Los Angeles. I'm taking Josh Palmer.
So the reason I tried cutting you off and picking up for you is because this is who I was targeting. And I thought you were going to take him with your last pick because your description for your last pick is similar to my description for this pick. You said draft capital, third-round pick. You said the quarterback he's tethered to, Justin Herbert. So I assumed you were going here. And so I thought he was going to go around earlier. He didn't. So I got excited. But then you ripped that away from me just now. So I can't take him. So I think now there's another big teardrop after those wide receivers. And this next selection is pretty tough for me. I don't know if I should go upside or if I should go floor. And, I think I'm going to go with Kellen Mons, to be honest. It's not really what I was planning on doing. But I do think that, he was taken in the third round. This is clearly upside play. You know, I'm not expecting much from him day one. But, you know, Kirk Cousins is kind of a jag. And Mond might have a little bit of a spark. He's got a good young wide receiver there in Justin Jefferson. So if he does get an opportunity there, I think he's got a guy you could help him, you know, succeed. So I'm kind of a little shaken after that Palmer pick. I didn't, you know, I thought him or Collins would be there. They weren't. So I'm Mond. And Justin, you were on the clock. Go ahead.
All right. So I have my running back of the future with Najee Harris. I've got a wide receiver with Bateman that's going to help secure up my wide receiving core. I was actually looking at quarterback as well with this pick between Kyle Trask and Mond and Davis Mills. So you helped make my decision a little bit easier. While I think that Trask is potentially the next guy up for Tampa Bay, we don't know if Tom Brady might have another 30 years in him. So also, Davis Mills is actually only – a lot of people forget this, but Davis Mills is only one really bad injection to the chest away from starting in Houston. So he could – I mean, and he is behind Tyrod Taylor. So I'm gonna roll the dice and say that maybe Houston might hire the medical staff from the Chargers.
Well, I'll tell you this. Yeah. Tyler will be rolling the dice if he allows somebody to give him another injection to the chest.
True. Very true.
So, all right.
I'm still going Davis Mills. I don't care.
All right. Tyler, you're on the clock. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that little run of quarterbacks is pretty accurate to what I have in my rankings here. But I am pretty happy that I feel like a guy felled me here with Dyami Brown, my third round draft capital, Washington football team. He's got Curtis Samuel there to compete with. Obviously, McLaurin's locked into that wide receiver one role. I think it's pretty wide open after that, and he could even push Curtis Samuel for that wide receiver two duties within maybe a year or two. But I think he's kind of a good stash play to have there on your team in the third round. I think I like his upside. His film was really good. But we'll see if he can push Curtis Samuel there. But I think he'll get on the field early and often.
All right. So there he goes. It's Dyami Brown. That's the guy I was considering instead of Mond. I like that pick. And next up we have Matt. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to grab Brown here too, but I'll go quarterback again and take Trask. I think sitting behind Brady might do him the water good, and there's not much left on the board that I really like here. So I'll take the value and have a bit of a gamble and go Trask.
All right, so there goes the three quarterbacks there, 1, 2, 3 in this round. And now we have Rich. Go ahead.
Yeah, with this pick, I'm going to zig when I zagged earlier. So I'm going to go Chuba Hubbard. And I think he's a great fit into this team as a backup behind McCaffrey. you really want to think about it, he's probably a poor man's McCaffrey. But if McCaffrey gets hurt and he can step in like Mike Davis did last year, good solid squad around him, and should be a great handcuff for McCaffrey at this point.
All right, so there he goes. Chuba Hubbard is off the board, and Tyler, you are up.
Yeah, so for this pick, I will go the other Baltimore wide receiver that was drafted, Tylan Wallace. He's got his film that I really liked before the draft. Unfortunately, he did fall pretty far in the draft, or further than a lot of people thought, and also not to a great situation. But I'm going to sit here. I'm going to trust the film. I'm going to trust my evaluation of him. And think that the talent rises to the top there. Maybe Brown is out in the next couple of years. His contract only has, I think, 1 or 2 years left. So he's another kind of stash guy, and we'll see what happens with him.
All right. So Tylan Wallace is off the board. He's definitely fallen a little bit. You know, I was getting Kelvin Harmon vibes during the draft watching him fall, because I was so high on Kelvin Harmon, and the NFL clearly was not. And I was so high on Tylan Wallace, and he definitely fell a little bit. That's good value there in the third. I am on the clock. I went Amari Rodgers with my last pick. I'm going to go Kenneth Gainwell here. I think it's another guy. He didn't go till the fifth round. So, I don't think the NFL liked him as much as the fantasy community did. But I really have no faith in Miles Sanders. I don't think Miles Sanders is a bell cow. I think he's a guy who he needs help. I think they're going to split carries. I know Kerryon Johnson just went there. I don't really know if he's even going to make the roster, but he just signed there in Philadelphia. So give me Kenneth Gainwell. I think he can get it done, and I think there's a chance that it's a 1A and 1B situation there. So give me Gainwell. And on the clock next, we have Kyle.
So that really cleared out my tier. I was going to go Gainwell there, hoping he'd fall one more pick. That's phenomenal. He could be, even as a third down back, could have value right away. But, you know, then again, I've gone running back with this team. That's the best time to get him in the rookie draft. So not the best time to get a tight end, but I'm going to go ahead and take a tight end here with Hunter Long in Miami. You know, there's word that they're trying to shop their current tight end there. Why I'm drawing a blank, I'm not sure. But yeah. And so we've got, you know, this is a new regime, new team, new player. And I really like Hunter Long coming out of the draft. He's a great player. And I'll see what he can do here at the 10th pick in the third round.
All right, man. I haven't heard anything about them shopping Gesicki. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If they do, that'll be juicy. So I like that. You heard that here first. All right. Gesicki's getting shopped. All right, Matt, you are on the clock. You already made your selection. Let the world know who it is.
Okay, Brevin Jordan, I think you know, draft capital is not the best, but we're almost in the fourth round. I think his relative athletic score was pretty poor, but it's a decent landing spot. Who else is there, you know, apart from him and Cooks? Brevin Jordan for me.
All right, Brevin Jordan. And John, I'm going to interrupt you before you select. I do want to let you guys know I made you wake up an hour earlier than planned because my daughter had a softball game. It rained. And they just emailed that they canceled the game. So it is. I apologize. Life happens. All right. All you guys who woke up early this morning to help me out, you know, life just threw a curveball. But anyway, John, the Gridiron Scholar, you are on the clock. Go ahead.
It's all good, brother. Trust me. We all have, well, at least I have family and kids and all that. So I know it's how life throws you a curveball. I'm going with draft capital. And it is kind of interesting because when I was when I was scouting Tutu Atwell, Des Fitzpatrick kept popping up on the screen. I know he was a little bit underachieving at the college level at Louisville. Production numbers aren't bad. They're not great, but he's a big receiver, and Tennessee has a big hole at wide receiver. Corey Davis is gone. I like this offense. He's going to have advantageous matchups because you have to deal with A.J. Brown all the time on the other side of the field. I'll take Des Fitzpatrick here. I actually ranked him higher than Tutu Atwell pre-draft in my rankings.
All right, that's a good pick. I think there's a lot of there's you know, between the second and third round, there's definitely, you know, a teardrop. The first round is clearly, you know, there's the A guys, and then there's the rest. But there's like, you know, five or six wide receivers where a few of them could have great situations and could really hit. So that's a good pick there. Next on the clock, Kyle, to start off the fourth and final round.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and go with kind of my guy here. And, you know, I've seen some of these drafts that I've been in. He's still not fallen as far as one would think, given the situation, given the crowded field. But Jalen Darden out of UNT here in North Texas, you know, he's just an amazing football player, set some numbers that are just ridiculous. And he proves it and he backs it up. He was the guy on that team. And everybody knew he was going to get the ball, and he's a receiver, not a running back, not a quarterback. Everybody knows somebody's got to throw him the ball, and he's still catching it. So I'm going to take Jalen Darden there. I can wait a year. It's fine.
All right, Jalen Darden has risen. He is in the fourth round now. That is an excellent pick. I love it. Next on the clock, John, with your second pick. Your first pick in the fourth round. Go ahead.
I might shock people, but I'm going Jalen Camp of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Played at Georgia Tech. First 2 years he played in the triple option offense. He was barely getting targeted as a yellow jacket. They finally brought in a new coach who upgraded the system. This year he played with the freshman, Jeff Sims, at quarterback. He pops a time on film. Big bodied, strong wide receiver. I don't think Jacksonville has a strong wide receiver core. I'll take the upside on athletic ability and size here. I'm going Jalen Camp, Jacksonville Jaguars.
What round was he drafted in, John? Or was he an undrafted?
I think the fourth.
Okay.
Excellent. Let me double check for you, though.
That's somebody I need to go ahead and watch. While you're checking, I am on the clock. And with here, fourth round pick, I'm going to go with Khalil Herbert. I think he's going to be the backup to David Montgomery. And I do think David Montgomery is the guy, but we saw the workload that David Montgomery got last year. And I know they have a different quarterback, but he's still going to be a rookie. I still think there's going to be a heavy workload on that running back. If Montgomery goes down, I think Khalil Herbert can step right in, and I think he can replace him. I don't think it's going to be drawing a blank to who the other running back is, the scat guy, the satellite back. I don't think he's going to be the guy if Montgomery goes down. So give me Khalil Herbert, and then Justin, you are on the clock next.
All right. So there's a reason that I don't typically do these.
Coach, he was a sixth-round pick.
Got it. Thank you.
Sixth-round pick. Right on. There's a reason I don't typically do these mock drafts with you guys, and it's because now it's down to me choosing the players I think have the most awesome names. And somebody mentioned him earlier, and I know that he's got a decent landing spot in my mind because I think that with DeSean Jackson only probably making it a game or two, he'll have an opportunity to step up. And his name is Tutu. So if you have a last place team, you know, there's a pretty good opportunity for a good team name there. So I'm going to go with Tutu Atwell here.
Tutu Atwell. It's off the board strictly for name. But he also was drafted in the second round to the Rams. Yeah. So I think that's solid there. That is a solid selection. Justin Tyler, your first team's up. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, who did you take again? It messed up. Who did you take?
I took Khalil Herbert.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I like that 2-2 pick. I mean, eventually you got to, you know, not ignore that draft capital you got in the second round. That I think that's a big deal and it tells a lot. But for me, I am going with Tommy Trimble out of Carolina. I think he's better than Ian Thomas. I think he's better than and I'm blanking on their other tight end there. But I think he walks in. He's the best. He's the most talented tight end that they have there. I think, again, with tight ends, it's going to take, you know, maybe a year or two, but I think he's a solid developmental player that you can get here in the fourth round that's got plenty of upside and a wide-open depth chart there in front of him in Carolina.
All right, so there goes Tommy Trimble. And, Matt, your first team is on the clock.
Yeah, I was hoping Trimble would fall to me. I'm a bit like Justin. I'm throwing darts here. So I'll probably look at someone like a quarterback, undrafted, but behind Hurts. I'll take Jamie Newman. Not the best landing spot, but again, you know, we're into the fourth round, so I'll throw a dart with Jamie Newman.
All right, so Jamie Newman is off the board, and next on the clock we have Rich. Go ahead.
Yeah, with this pick, going a receiver, got into a good spot where it's going to take time to develop and everything, and got some other receivers ahead of him, but Shai Smith in Carolina, he'll play that slot role and develop into it, and I feel like a year down the road, maybe not this year, can actually start stealing some targets in that slot position. So that's who I will be going with.
All right, so Shai Smith is gone. He had a great Senior Bowl. I was hearing a lot about him there, so that's usually a good sign. All right, Tyler, your second team is on the clock. Go ahead.
Yeah, so for the second team, this guy isn't really the next guy in my rankings, but I think if I'm here in the fourth round, I'm trying to hit a home run. So I'm going to go with Javion Hawkins there in Atlanta. All they got is Mike Davis. They just cut one of their other running backs a couple weeks ago. It is wide open. Mike Davis is definitely just like a one-year guy there. We'll see if Javion Hawkins, he has all the opportunity in the world to carve out a role there and, you know, potentially be the next James Robinson, a drafted free agent. Good running back. I think he was solid on film. Wasn't one of my favorites, but you know, we'll see if he can carve out a role, like I said, and produce for your fantasy team here in the fourth round.
I like that. I think that there's definitely going to be a little bit of a battle there, and it doesn't matter that he's an undrafted free agent. We've seen guys come in and they really don't got much there. So I like that selection. I'm going to go kind of a similar route. And not based upon the fact that I think this guy is going to steal the job, but the fact that there's limited competition in LA outside of Austin Ekeler. I'm going to go Larry Roundtree. I think if Ekeler goes down, I think Roundtree can battle it out with Joshua Kelly. And I didn't see too much from Joshua Kelly to think, you know, it seems like last year with the Chargers when Ekeler was down, we're kind of bouncing from back to back to back. And there'll be an opportunity for him there if Ekeler goes down again. And I think he has a chance to win that job. So give me Larry Roundtree, and based upon the handcuff there. And after that, Kyle, your second team, go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, this is getting some major dart throws here in this round. Yeah. And, you know, I've got a few players that I still really like here. I already got Hunter Long. You know, Kylan Granson's really the next name on my list. And if I'm just going off my board, that's where I'm going to go. And so despite the fact that I'm taking two tight ends for the same team in the draft, I'm going to go ahead and go that route. Tight end out of SMU, a little bit smaller than your normal tight end, but fits in the modern NFL. And I think that that fourth round capital coming in there to replace Trey Burton, who did pretty decent there in his time in Indy, I think it's a good pick here.
All right, Justin, what do you think about this Kylan Granson cat over there in Indianapolis?
Is that who was just taken?
Yes. Tight end.
I mean, tight end is a desperate position for us. I know we still have Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox on along with Burton, but I mean, it's kind of like a tight end by committee, which isn't ideal since tight end, it's hard to find great talent at the position anyway. So he's got an opportunity for sure.
All right. Kylan Granson's off the board. Matt, your second team is on the clock.
I'll grab Jamar Jefferson. It's pretty ugly around here. I'm not sure what Williams' contract's like, but you know, maybe in a year or two he can get a decent amount of playing time. So I'll chuck another dart at Jefferson.
Right, Jamar, and he's fallen. He's a guy I like this film, but the NFL did not like him. All right, so John, you are up to finish this draft. Who is your selection?
I'm going to grab a backup to my first round pick. If my analysis on Trey Sermon is incorrect, and there's always a chance that the team doesn't like him, injuries occur, I'm going to take Elijah Mitchell, the back out of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns. I liked him in the pre-draft process. I do believe that the 49ers are going to thin the herd. They're going to cut some of those older running backs who have been ineffective. I think Sermon and Mitchell will both make the team. We know running back is a young man's position. So I'll just invest in the 49ers backfield here with Shanahan and see what happens. I'll take Elijah Mitchell to close out the draft.
All right. So there goes Elijah Mitchell. That worked out pretty well for you. You know, getting Sermon, getting Mitchell, you're getting an opportunity to lock up that backfield. And the way that backfield's gone is it's pretty much been like there's been a guy 3 or 4 weeks and then another guy 3 or 4 weeks. So you have two of those guys. You have a good opportunity to have RB1, you know, multiple points throughout this season. So that wraps up the draft. And it's going to be interesting to look back at this thing, you know, over the next week or so and compare it to the last one we did, the final one pre-NFL draft. But this thing was a lot of fun. Again, if you were listening, it was super flex. We had a decent amount of quarterbacks taken, especially early on. And anyone have any, like, thoughts after, you know, looking this thing over that you'd like to get out there? Anything you want to discuss after seeing this draft now that's done?
The tight end position is incredibly thin. If you need a tight end and you don't get Pitts or Freiermuth, you are in trouble. You are throwing darts in a super flex draft this year. I mean, it's tough, man. I mean, I've been looking at a tight end board. Woo!
It's interesting to me how many wide receivers that, you know, I hadn't really – that weren't drafted. Like the guys that I were really high on, you know, like Tylan Wallace – you know, there were guys who fell, and then there were names that clearly the NFL had that we didn't. Looking at that cat who ended up from Tennessee that you drafted, that I was going to take, I can't see his Josh Palmer. He's definitely a riser. You think he might even raise up higher on draft boards as the process goes on, or you think that's about his ceiling where he was taken in this draft?
I think the third round is the right value. If you're pushing it into the second, I think you're taking a risk. But I do – one thing that I've been discussing with other people, I was an NFL fan long before I was a fantasy football analyst or, you know, did player analysis. Once again, the NFL showed us they like size and speed. They really like size. We love these quick twitch athletes on Twitter. We love these small guys. But if your career is banking, you will notice that general managers and team owners and coaching staffs are going to bank on size and speed. And until we kind of make that balance, we will never get it completely right as a Twitterverse analysis, because we keep loving these small guys. And the NFL just keeps telling you year after year, we want size and speed. And they love it in that third and fourth round of drafts. They just go for the 6'2" guy. I mean, it happens every year, and we're shocked. But you know what? Josh Palmer, Des Fitzpatrick. And I had him higher on my pre-draft, but I didn't have him like that high. You know what I mean? And, you know, I love these quick twitch guys, these highly athletic guys. But the NFL says, give me a guy with size and speed who can win one-on-one 30 yards down the field. That's they keep doing it, and we keep being shocked. So we got to figure it out somewhere. There's a balance. I mean, that's why Jalen Camp got drafted. Jalen Camp doesn't pop in your production model. Look at the numbers. He played in a triple option offense. Like, literally, I love Georgia Tech college football. Love the yellow when they used to. I mean, I still like them now for different reasons. I love the triple option. But they're not going to pop in a production model. But the NFL goes, 6'2", 210, big boy down the field. We've seen some highlights. Let's draft him.
Yeah.
You know, they do it every year. And I'll say what I saw that I thought was interesting. We were talking about running backs falling. If you look at this draft, the NFL took big boys. They let the small running backs fall. They want the 210-pound running back. That, I mean, that's just the NFL's telling us. They're screaming at us. We don't want the 190 guy. Sorry. We want
to pick him up as an undrafted free agent is what they're telling us.
Yeah. I mean, and every year we love these little guys. Every year the NFL goes, sorry, we want the 210-pounder. I mean, look at Ramondre Stevenson, how high he went compared. Now, I'm not convinced. I like Ramondre Stevenson too now because he landed in New England and there's a clear shot to touches. But we had so many smaller backs ranked ahead of Ramondre Stevenson, who didn't even get drafted.
I think that's just the thing, is that we have so many of those smaller backs too. You know, there's a ton of them even now in the college field. You know, you can get, you know, one in the fourth round, or you can wait until get one in the undrafted free agent. But how many of those 215-pound backs are there? You know, far and few between. And even if you're taking a shot on a guy like Ramondre Stevenson, that was decent, right? You know, no one had him a top five guy, but you know, you're taking a shot at him at what, I think the fourth round or something like that. Like, I mean, they don't come around that often when they actually put up a decent production profile, and you got all these 5'8", 180-pound guys over here. You can grab one whenever you want to there.
The NFL is telling us they want. And I was thinking about this. Stevenson in the goal line with Cam Newton is going to be a goddamn problem for defenses.
Yeah.
Because you're going to run that RPO to the wide side of the field, and you can have Cam carry it, or you can pitch it to Ramondre Stevenson, or just go right up the gut. It's going to be a real goddamn problem. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots didn't have that type of player in goal line and short yardage last year. Take some of the pressure off Cam's body, bring in the big boy, and let him smash some people in the mouth. Remember, Bill Belichick, he loved Corey Dillon. He loved LeGarrette Blount. And then there's one other big running back that I'm forgetting. He loves, and he had Otis Anderson with the New York Giants. He won a Super Bowl with. He loves these big physical grinders who can challenge the defense in the middle of the field.
Well, and I think it's important to understand, too, that there was a point in time where Ramondre Stevenson and Trey Sermon were on the field together for Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and Ramondre Stevenson took a lot of playing time from Trey Sermon. Now, Trey Sermon had some injury issues that year. But
yeah. And you know what's interesting? The Oklahoma system has good running backs, but Lincoln Riley doesn't highlight the running backs. And then look at who Trey Sermon and Ramondre Stevenson played with. Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, and Kyler Murray all steal carries and touch and goal line. That's why their production models are bad. It doesn't work in the Oklahoma Lincoln Riley system. You're not going to get a 1,200-yard back with 15 touchdowns at Oklahoma. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen this year. They have Spencer Rattler, another dual-threat quarterback. So all these Oklahoma guys go underappreciated, who are actually pretty darn good when you look at the skill set and you break it down.
Yeah, and a little bit off of that, like how the NFL is viewing some of these players, and I think with my pick with Tylan Wallace, I think it's interesting. I think with COVID going on, and maybe they weren't able to do a whole lot of in-depth research on some of these guys, I wonder if they really saw some of these injury history guys. You know, Tylan Wallace had the I think ACL tear early in his career. I wonder if they're like, you know what, we're just not even going to take the risk. You know, maybe they saw him as a second round guy, but they couldn't get all the medicals that they wanted to get done. They're like, you know, we'll see. We'll take our risk elsewhere, right?
I
wonder how that was.
I think Tylan Wallace, two things hurt him. One is the injury risk. There's no question. That definitely was a concern for NFL organizations. And two, I think Oklahoma State's wide receivers has failed. And the NFL is going to consider that. They said, you know, these kids coming out of that system, they just don't make it. I mean, how good was James Washington at Oklahoma State? And he was a better prospect than Tylan Wallace. I did both of them, and I take James, right, same pre-draft analysis. Forget about what he did in the NFL. James Washington was a better prospect than Tylan Wallace. And look into what's happened to him in the NFL.
I think that tweener style receiver is a difficult role to transition from college to pros. When you're the, like Christian Kirk, when you're not the X receiver body type, but you're an X receiver in college, that's a hard transition.
Yeah. In college, you're deemed versatile, but then once you get to the NFL, you're like, well, you can't really do anything, right?
Right.
If you're one of the tweeners, you better be able to separate, because you know, you have to be able to give a quarterback a window to put that ball in. I think that's another thing that Wallace struggled at, you know, being able to get that separation consistently. He's a high point receiver. He's going to beat you to the football. That's great. But now at the NFL level, you're not going against the cornerbacks you've been going against in college. So you need to be able to get open, create space. And I don't know if he can. I don't know if Christian Kirk could. You know, those small guys, you better be fast. You better or be an excellent route runner, you know.
Yeah, I also think it's important to kind of analyze it this way. The NFL wants X receivers. They'll gamble on the big X receiver, and you can move him to the Z or inside on four receiver sets. You can't take a Z receiver and move him out to the X. And what the NFL saw in Tylan Wallace is a Z receiver at the NFL level who we don't really know what he can do because he can't separate in the inside. We're worried about inside separation, and he can't play the X. So he's limited. Where they look at a guy like Des Fitzpatrick and say, hey, if he hits his ceiling, he's an X receiver. He definitely plays Z receiver. And if he's our fourth wide receiver in four wide receiver sets, we're golden. So I think they go out in. They will not go in out. So when you're, but the guys now, the true slots like Elijah Moore who separate, coach said it. Rondell Moore, Elijah Moore. If you can separate instantly, Julian Edelman, you're going to get drafted in the NFL.
Separation is key. Size, speed, separation. Those are the tickets. All right. I think we got some great analysis on here. I really appreciate you guys coming on. This was great. It was a lot of fun, a lot of insight. I definitely took some notes on here. Some guys I need to go back and watch because I'm one draft down, but I got like five or six coming up. And I need to rethink my process. I need to look over these guys so I can get some value, especially in Shark Tank down there with Kyle. I've been thrown to the Sharks this year, and I need to make a few good draft picks so I can build my roster. But I'm going to let you guys go one at a time. John, we brought you on first, a Gridiron Scholar. It's always fun getting you on, man. Great analysis. You're a great drafter. You help us out big time, and I'm sure you help out all of our listeners. Go follow John on Twitter, at Gridiron Scholar 91. Go check out his podcast, College Fantasy Football on Campus and the Draft Seminar. John, thanks for coming on, my guy.
Thank you. I had a great morning. You made my day, gentlemen. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. All right. And Kyle, you were next. You could find Kyle on the Twitter at DoglegBrewer. He's the co-host of Dynasty Self-Help, the FF Stories, and the CFB Stories. You can follow those on Twitter. Kyle, we appreciate you coming on, man.
Well, thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it. You guys have a wonderful day.
You too, man. And then finally here, we got Tyler. Tyler, we've been talking to this one up, I think for a few weeks we've been planning on having you on. So we really appreciate you coming on again. Tyler is at Tyler_FF_ on the Twitter. He's a writer at K Fantasy Sports. The draft kit is available again for $7. Use that promo code TylerFF10 for 10% off. Tyler, thank you for coming on.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Definitely made my morning, and it was worth getting up at the crack of dawn over here.
It was. I'm glad it was worth it. His daughter is not playing today, so I could have definitely slept in. We all could have slept in, but thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right. So that does it for episode number 56. This one was a lot of fun. It's probably, I know we're going to do next Saturday, we're going to do an IDP rookie mock, but it shouldn't be as big as this. It's probably only going to be two rounds. So that's probably the last of like the seven screens up at one time. it's been fun managing that. Justin, I think your fingers are probably going to feel a lot better going forward than they did these last few weeks trying to get all those in.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I got a test out of my my math exam tonight. So, but just real quick, I want to mention: does it seem funny that I'm always like lined up with the second evolution on our chart here every time? Like, I kind of feel like I'm somewhere between this guy and this guy. You know,
Cro-Magnon, man.
That's perfect. But you're going to ascend, man. It's on our way. We're taking steps. We're progressing. As long as you're not the last guy, we're in good shape.
Gotcha.
All right. Hey, everyone, tune in Tuesday night. Tuesday night is the one-year anniversary of Toilets to Titles, and we're going to be doing a year-in-review Tuesday night, probably like 8 or 8:30. It's not a regular scheduled program. It's going to be a bonus episode. And then next week, we're going to be live doing a rookie IDP mock. Go ahead, Justin.
And also, beginning this Wednesday, I'm starting our preseason breakdown shows. As a matter of fact, I want to mention real quick for Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. It's only going to be on the YouTube channels, but we are going with the Bengals as our first episode. And I have Mike Watts and Willie Lutz coming on. Mike Watts is kind of a fill-in play-by-play announcer for the Bengals. So he's going to be on the show at 11:30 Wednesday morning. And then at around 1 p.m. Wednesday afternoon, I believe it is. Let me double-check here. 1 p.m. Wednesday afternoon, we're doing the Falcons. And for the Falcons, I've got Aaron Freeman from Locked On Sports, John Michaels, who's a sideline reporter for the Falcons. Aaron Freeman is Locked On Sports Falcons, so he's very specific to the Falcons. And then my boy Jamie Byram, who I'm in a fantasy league with from England. Those three are all huge, avid Falcons fans. So on Wednesday, you're going to get two of our breakdown shows back to back.
Falcons and the Winter Soldier will be there as well. So they'll all be there. The crew will all be available. That was a Marvel joke. It was kind of stupid. It's early.
All right. I liked it. I appreciate it.
All right. So episode 56, it's a wrap. Good luck on all your drafts. Hopefully that helped you out. Feel free to tweet at us, ask us your draft questions, tag us in those draft polls. We'll be talking to you soon. Check out Rich's hat. It's fire. It's dope. We're going to get those soon. We appreciate you, Rich, getting that thing, getting those made. And we will catch everybody later. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the shit out of it. All right. I cursed. There you go. Take care.
Thank you, Frito-Lays.